Welcome back to the rain delay broadcast, or should I say podcast. Can you believe it? We have brought consistency for 1 month. Well, coming on around 1 month, it's September 1st now, but me and Luke are here for the first ever, second ever, in real life podcast. Luke.
Hello, I'm in Marcus's bedroom. I never thought I would say the day. I never thought that this would ever happen again. It happened that one time, like, what was it? When we were in that hot car.
Yeah, we did a podcast in a hot 90 degree car just last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know why we were doing that, but whatever it is.
The excitement is back now in the air. Can you smell it? Football season is coming up this Thursday.
Yes.
And that calls for a fantasy episode, our first of the year. So we are going to go over all of the players, you know, in every position, going over kind of our star players, under the radar players, and kind of just going over guys we are high about in general. Now, I just want to go over a quick disclaimer before we jump in. I know a lot of you may have drafted your teams now that football season is just a couple days away, but these are guys you could hear about and be excited about if they are on your team, learn a bit more information about them. And also, I just want to mention, none of these players on my list happen to be on any of my teams in three fantasy football leagues. So this is all unbiased, honest truth about what I think about these players in this season.
Wow. That's what we expect. We expect the truth and nothing but the truth around here.
Exactly. So, should we just dive right into
it? Yes, dive in that ocean.
So, going into the quarterback position, now we go into the S-tier player guys. We have the Hurts, the Lamars, the Allens, the guys who can run it and do it all. But how about we take a look, just a couple years back, there was one name in that conversation who was top five. He was emerging as a fantasy top contender, but then I wouldn't say he fell apart as a player, but the players around him fell apart. Justin Herbert. Enter Justin Herbert. Now, this guy is a proven quarterback. He's the first quarterback in NFL history with 4,000 passing yards in each of his first NFL seasons. I mean, even in his quote-unquote down years, he's producing top numbers. I mean, in terms of fantasy, you always want to have a quarterback with good touchdown to interception ratios. I mean, you know, you don't want the minus twos getting to you when they're getting into the end zone there. Just last year, in 2024, he had 23 touchdowns, just to three interceptions under Jim Harbaugh.
In 17 games, yeah three picks, that's it.
And you know, Jim Harbaugh, there is some worry there that they do like to run the ball, but they are establishing that they are trying to get Justin Herbert involved and getting him kick-started back into this pass game. Like, we have guys like Trey Harris, we have Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen coming back. So we have all these guys spreading out the ball, and there's another guy, Ladd McConkey. I mean, you're spreading out the ball. Ladd McConkey's just going to be more of a threat on the field. So I think his ceiling is going to explode. I mean, he has the ability, he's shown it, to explode for over 30 points. And, I mean, with this Harbaugh scheme, I think we could see an exciting new player, more confident in the pocket with this surrounding cast, Luke. So, I mean, even though his rankings have been falling out of the top 10, his ADP is very low. He's going around the 10th round. Some people have him as a bench quarterback or letting him fall the waiver wire. I think if you find yourself waiting on a quarterback, or if you're in one of those deep leagues, Justin Herbert is doing you great service as a starting quarterback, and I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him top 10 this year, Luke.
I agree. He's consistently been a top 10 quarterback, just that his team has never really done anything besides it. Here's one thing I do wonder, though. Last year, Justin Herbert was sacked a career high 41 times, and now coming into this season with Rashawn Slater, the left tackle, out for the year with, I believe it's a torn patella, if I'm not mistaken, or something of the sort, some sort of leg injury. What makes you think that Herbert can remain in the pocket, even though he was sacked so much last year? This year, do you think he can maintain that composure and not throw something up, like throw a duck up in the air and get it picked off? Do you think that he can maintain that incredible ratio?
Yeah, I think one thing that also we haven't really mentioned about Herbert that has gotten to him in past seasons when it comes to quarterback pressure is the injuries. I mean, he has dealt with broken ribs, we've seen. He's played through it. He's dealt with hand injuries. But I think the difference to this year is that the stress and pressure is not going to be all on him when there's going to be quarterback pressure. They have the running backs now. They have Najee Harris. They have rookie Amarion Hampton, who's going to be taking a huge role. I mean, they are dealing with a totally different type of scheme than they did in past years. And you know Jim Harbaugh, he likes to establish a heavy run offense. So I think when they're establishing the run offense, we're going to see some less pressure on the quarterback. And then when they do pass the ball, the defensive line is going to be caught more of surprise. And we might see Justin Herbert kind of finding himself more comfortable as the game goes on. You know, different rhythm in the game, not just throw. You have run mixed in. And I think that's going to develop him as a player. And it's going to show in fantasy, Luke. So regardless of the offensive line, I think there's going to be some progress there.
I like what you're going with. Well, as we move forth, next up, let's talk about the under-the-radar quarterback. And right now, I would say that that is the New York Jets' Justin Fields, which is a sort of a strange pick because usually you want to steer within a country mile of any sort of quarterback with the name Jets attached to them. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers last year.
Zach Wilson,
oh my goodness.
One of the top prospects, one throw in the training camp absolutely changed the Jets franchise.
Yeah, now he's balling out as the backup quarterback, I think, to Tua down in Miami. But anyway, as we move forward, Justin Fields, this kind of sounds like a weird pick because usually you hear all this stuff about from in regard to Fields, and it's negative, talking about how he's a bust. He can't throw the ball. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that he has never been really given a good receiving core. Last year, who was he throwing to? George Pickles, who is not interested in playing football. He had more fun in defensive players.
He was just thrown in a trade for a bag of chips to the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it kind of shows how they valued him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the one time that Justin Fields had a solid wide receiver was back in 2023 with DJ Moore. His one season spent with DJ Moore, and Justin Fields had his best year passing that season. He was able to have the most passing yards, 2,562. And while he took an enormous amount of sacks, it seems like he's one of those guys that he needs to have one good target for him. And that one guy could be Garrett Wilson, who we may have a chat about.
We will.
We'll talk about him in a few moments. But regardless, even if Garrett Wilson, let's see what Marcus might say about him. Stay tuned. But right now, you still have to respect his running ability. Back in 2022, when he went a fantastic 3-12. The Bears, they finished year 3-14. He, Justin Fields, received MVP votes, even though he was sacked the most times of any quarterback. He ran the ball, and he ran it right down the throats. He averaged the most yards per attempt of any running back, and he's a quarterback. So this guy, he can, with the Jets' shoddy offensive line, exactly like how the Bears were, I think that Justin Fields can kind of have a repeat of that 2022 season with that one guy who could act in the DJ Moore role.
Yeah, Luke, and when you mentioned that running ability, we as we mentioned just earlier in this podcast, notice these names: Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. What do they all have in common? The running ability. Mm-hmm. That's what changed the standard in fantasy quarterbacks. That 6-point rushing touchdown, all those rushing points, they add up extremely, and they change teams. They win championships. And it took years. It took years for top draft picks like Sam Darnold, like Baker Mayfield, to emerge as, you know, into their top forms. So why not Justin Fields? He's in his fourth offensive system in 5 years, Luke. I mean, this, why not this time? Can he change the tides? I mean, he's in a 2-year deal. I think if he puts in the same production he did with DJ Moore with a different team, he uses the young talents around him, he could become a great fantasy dark horse player. So I completely agree with that.
Yeah. And his team might not be great, but he can still do anything. And when we're talking about fantasy football, team really doesn't matter too much.
Exactly.
But as we move forward, we'll do a little bit of a snake draft here, and I'll be talking about the running back, your best running back. And right now, this may seem obvious, but that could make sense if you were back in, I don't know, 2021, 2020, and it's Derrick Henry, who last year somewhat revitalized his career. It's funny to say, but he was going into his 9th year in the NFL. So he was going into his age 30 season. That's usually when most running backs slow down after they take all those hits. But Derrick Henry, with the Ravens offense, he was able to put up some incredible numbers. His most rushing yards since he reached 2,000 back in 2020, hit 1,921, and the most touchdowns in the NFL. So I think that Derrick Henry could be one of those guys that can, just if the scheme fits him well, then he can go crazy.
Well, Luke, I mean, in terms of production and fantasy, I mean, production, that's all we can ask for when we draft running backs. And Derrick Henry, he's been no stranger to production. I mean, that's why we drafted him. And it's almost been a decade now where you can just look at a board, look at running backs within the top 20, top 10, you're like, hey, I can pick this guy, be confident in him with at least dropping 15 points a week. So now we look at under the radar, and this guy, now, ladies and gentlemen, I might have to go against everything I, you know, have as a Giants fan, every value, every moral I have, and I might have to buy a Commander's jersey just for this guy I'm about to say. Now, imagine getting someone who could absolutely revitalize your bench, revitalize your team, and change the game for running backs in one of the last rounds. Now, I've been taking this guy in 12-man leagues last rounds, 8-man leagues last rounds, 10-man leagues. I have him in all three of my leagues. Bring in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, JCM, otherwise known as Bill. Now, what makes him so great? Well, let me just tell you a quick little story about Bill. So, when I was going to draft him last week, the night before, I had a vision to me that said this guy will be dynamic. I've seen him score in preseason. It was week one against the Bengals, if I'm remembering correctly.
Spiritual podcast.
It didn't remember that. It didn't really matter about that. What mattered was when I drafted him, the next day, word broke that running back one, Brian Robinson Jr., was taking flight to the Bay Area.
Yes, that's right.
Making Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt jump into a high production role with battling with none other than Austin Eckler and Gregory Rodriguez. Is that his name? It's just some randoms. Yeah. So what makes this guy so good? Well, bring in the speed, 4.45, 40-yard dash. And then we talk about the college production. I mean, 1,190 yards, 17 touchdowns at New Mexico, 200-yard games. And I mean, this guy, he just has dangerous cuts, amazing route running and catching abilities. I mean, in fantasy, you say Derrick Henry's great because production. I'm saying JCM's better because catch passing abilities. Excuse me. I mean, this guy, he's going to be in the slot. He's going to be in motion, running wheel routes. I mean, he's going to be everywhere. And without a true runner on that team, you know, this guy could really form into that. So I think with the scheme fit, he could be a late round watch who's a stash and possibly an ultimate game changer. So JCM, remember that name.
Yes, let's go off to Marcus now.
Receivers back to me.
Starting receiver, the snake pick.
Now, I'm going to enter a little two-man here. Ooh. A little two-man parlay here.
Two for the price of one.
Because I mentioned the quarterback earlier. Now I want to give the receiver a little bit of love. We're doing correlation action here. You're going to see that later with Fields and Wilson. But we'll go into McConkey. Bring in Ladd McConkey. I mean, this guy, he isn't... I feel like I needed to bring in a receiver who's actually getting valued at a fair spot this year. You know, he's going as the wide receiver 11 overall. I mean, drafted late second round, early third. But the reason why, I mean, why should a second round receiver get picked so high, Luke? I mean, Marvin Harrison, for example, he's getting picked lower. There's not a lot of love for him.
Yeah, it's but, kind of an odd reason to not pick him.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. But now Ladd McConkey, I mean, there is a reason for him. He threw... Got 82 receptions for over 1,000 yards last season, 7 touchdowns, finishing as wide receiver 12. Averaged 2.59 yards per route run and 10.3 yards per target. I mean, this guy just had amazing ceiling. He averaged 18.7 fantasy points per game. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're now getting him in the second round when you're averaging 18 points. I mean, this is top 5 potential this year. I wouldn't trust guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I wouldn't trust guys like Brian Thomas Jr., when they haven't proven themselves as confidently as Ladd McConkey. I mean, this guy over the field, he's jumping, he's flying, he's catching these balls, and I really think he's going to be a game changer. He's proven himself as a true, reliable person to Justin Herbert. And especially, as I mentioned earlier, with Trey Harris and Keenan Allen on that ball, they're going to be spreading it out, making Ladd McConkey a way more valuable threat. Moving on, the other guy, I know I just hated on him a little bit, but Marvin Harrison Jr., his ADP is just unreal. I just drafted him tonight, Luke, in our league.
Yes, you did.
So, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's drafted around wide receiver 17. I mean, there was just a big discrepancy in stats last year.
Whoa.
When he had touchdowns and yards. I mean, one game he's dropping 30 fantasy points, and it's because he has 2 touchdowns. The next game, he's dropping 7 fantasy points because he got nowhere in the end zone, just 3 catches and 40 yards. So it just makes you think, how can he change it around the season? And that's where Kyler Murray enters. I think this Arizona team as a total is going to bounce back. I think they kind of fell apart last year at the end of the season and then deserted, you know, really even utilizing Marvin Harrison. And I think with Trey McBride, James Conner, all these surrounding factors, I really love him. And he's really grown into this wide receiver one role. And there's no reason why he should be a flex in a lot of these leagues. So that's why Marvin Harrison. So Luke, who's your under-the-radar receiver?
Well, funny you ask. And I must say that Marvin Harrison, when given the opportunity to play or to even receive targets last year, he was going off. And one thing is that in week 6, he did go down with an injury early in the game. He only played 8 snaps, 2 targets, but I don't know. That might have lingered throughout the year, especially if this team was in the playoff hunt all year. And sometimes you force yourself to play. Who knows? He only had 8 touchdowns, but in a Kyler Murray offense this year, I feel like Marvin Harrison, I totally agree. I can see him getting another year older, more year of an experience, and becoming a
second year can be a golden year for a lot of these guys.
That's true. Well, we can talk about some like under the radar guys. This one is maybe not even under the radar. This might be one of those things that doesn't even show up on air traffic control.
Whoa.
Yes. This is Emeka Ebuka.
Oh. Whoa. Ho, ho.
And I hope that I didn't make your magic carpet start to float inside your house. But this guy, he might not even be like that under radar. He was the 19th overall pick by the Buccaneers in this past year's draft out of Ohio State, but he's just not really getting talked about that much. He has a golden opportunity, though, right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback, to start the year, Chris Godwin is out. He's on the PUP list. He's going to be missing at least probably the first 4 games, maybe more. And then on the other hand, their number two receiver last year, or the number, I guess number three, because I obviously number one goes to Mike Evans, but the number three receiver, Jalen McMillan, will start the year on IR because of a really badly sprained neck that he suffered. Yeah, he fell on his head trying to catch a pass, and his neck like bent in a direction that it really shouldn't.
Sending good looks, but hopefully you stay hurt while Emeka Ebuka balls out, I guess.
That's true, yes. Well, we can hope that Emeka is silently giggling away at the thought of... It's just kind of a ridiculous-looking injury to begin with. But anyways, there's on the other side of the offensive line is Mike Evans. That is going to just automatically, just the name Mike Evans will bring easily a double team. So that leaves the other side of the field completely open for Emeka Ebuka, who I feel like it's kind of weird to talk about rookies this highly. Maybe draft him. I don't know. I drafted him personally because I was a little too excited, maybe. But now I get to talk about and reason out my selection. He was the 19th overall pick for a reason. At Ohio State last year, he managed to win the college football championship, but he had 10 touchdowns, 1,011 yards in 16 games. But I don't want to talk just about that. I want to talk about the 2022 season when he was a sophomore. He spent all 4 years at Ohio State, so good for him not transferring. Stay committed to your school. Get rid of that transfer portal nonsense. But in only 13 games, he had a career-high 12 touchdowns. I feel like these 2 years in college at Ohio State, his first year was with C.J. Stroud, and then last year was with Kyle McCord, who was the sixth-round pick by the Eagles. So two NFL-caliber quarterbacks for Emeka Ebuka. So when he's the quarterback, things happen.
Bang, bang. That's right. And you're talking about a guy who's going on the bench, so why not him, you know? Mm-hmm. Why not? So now we're going to be moving into flex. We'll go into flex. And I'm going to start off now and give love. We've talked about him. We mentioned him a lot now, I guess, at the Garrett Wilson show. Garrett Wilson, hello. He's going off the board, usually around 37th overall. I mean, yeah, early fourth round. Not very, you know, low, relatively. But he is an amazing pick. I mean, usually you find him at the flex position or wide receiver too. But I really think he has the potential to go top 10. I mean, me and Luke were discussing this earlier about Justin Fields. When Justin Fields was on the Bears, or whenever, you know, Justin Fields kind of had a star receiver, he was airing it out to them. I mean, DJ Moore averaged over 8 to 10 targets a game. And I mean, if we see that love giving to Wilson, a receiver who has posted up 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and his last season was career best with over 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, this guy's an offensive target machine. There's no reason why he shouldn't get the ball this season. And with someone like Justin Fields who's trying to prove himself, like we mentioned, a lot of offensive systems. And you have Garrett Wilson, who's been very frustrated. He just went through Aaron Rodgers. You know, all that trust, all that storyline that was supposed to be between him two, that got ruined. Davante Adams came in the mix. It was a whole reality TV show. Now it's Garrett Wilson's turn. It's his time to prove himself. And it's the young Jets who will come together. Regardless of their team schedule, I think Wilson is going to become a fantasy stud. Luke?
There you have it. Oops, my microphone was turned off. But yes, I see exactly. We are turning him into a bit of a Jets podcast, I see. But that never hurt anybody. They deserve love, too. Everyone needs love in this world. Well, my flex, and it's a little hard to be an under-the-radar flex guy because already that implies being a flex is that you weren't one of the wide receiver one or two or whatever. But this is like a supreme under-the-radar, and I'll bring my own two-for-one. So, number one, Marvin Mims Jr. of the Denver Broncos. Courtland Sutton is currently the only wide receiver on the depth chart ahead of him, and Mims is heading into his third year. He's only rostered in about 38% of leagues, but I could see it happening that he kind of turns things around, because at the end of last year, he had a kind of like a awakening, you could say, a resurgence. After his first year and a half or so in the league, he only had about 2 touches per game. In the last 8 games of the season, he had nearly 6 touches a game. So that role of, he had 49 touches in those 8 games, 6 touchdowns, and averaged about 13 fantasy points in those across that. So he also was the punt returner at that time, and that doesn't really mean anything anymore because they have a new punt returner, so that threat to injury is eliminated for Marvin Mims Jr. And like I said about Emeka Ebuka, just the fact that guy on the other side of the offensive line at the other wide receiver position has such a magnetic draw from the to the defense. That opens up Marvin Mims Jr. And then also another guy that I'm going to talk about is someone who I kind of had a bit of a hating spot for last year with the 49ers, and that is Jordan Mason, who is now in Minnesota as a running back. And he's going to, they're talking about how, the way that they're talking about him is talking about him as if he's not just going to be a backup running back. They're saying that he's going to be in a committee with Aaron Jones, so that could mean that they might take drives off from each other, but just splitting work with Aaron Jones, that should be a big upgrade. That'll be much more work than your standard backup running back. He, when given an opportunity, Jordan Mason's been fantastic. Last year, I drafted him, and he carried me for a solid way until just about when he went down with an injury. So I would say keep Jordan Mason maybe on your bench, or if desperate times call for desperate measures, if it's like a 12-man league, 10-man league, you can serviceably have Jordan Mason in your flex position, I believe, because he's out from underneath Christian McCaffrey now.
I mean, Aaron Jones Sr.? Are we deadass? At running back one?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones.
There is always room for someone to emerge under Aaron Jones Sr.
That's right. Aaron Jones is now 30 years old. That's sort of like a, quote-unquote, like the age of doom that comes for most running backs. Once they hit that age 30, most stuff past their goes downhill.
With exception to Derrick Henry, because one word, production.
Yes.
Now we're going to move into tight end. Luke, who's your top tight end we are looking at today?
I think that the top tight end, this is a name that Marcus knows well from his time out there in New York. Know and love, a beloved figure over there for a variety of reasons. He had that one year. Was he there in 2022 when the team went to the playoffs? Marcus? Evan Ingram?
Evan Ingram? No.
No, he was in... That's right. He was in Jacksonville, who also went to the playoffs that year, actually. They won the AFC South. Sorry. But Evan Ingram, he has now signed with the Denver Broncos. And here's someone that we didn't talk about, but he may deserve some love. Bo Nix, who had a really solid season. 29 touchdowns to only 12 picks last year. The 12th overall pick in the draft, and all the hype will go to Jaden Daniels and talking about him as he's like, yes, the crown jewel of the draft, which is true. He was definitely the best quarterback, but second best, I would say, is Bo Nix. So that is who is throwing the ball now to Evan Ingram. He's quietly had a pretty fantastic career. 2-time Pro Bowler in a career that has been limited by injuries. He's pretty injury prone. Marcus knows that well from his 5 years on the Giants. Evan Ingram was not a super consistent. He wasn't out there every week. Sometimes he would miss 10 games, like in 2019. He didn't play 16 games until 2020. That was the 1 year out of his 5 where he played in every single game for the Giants. But when he is available, he's a big touchdown threat. and he will also catch a lot of passes. He had 114 catches in 17 games, over 9 targets per game in 2023. Last year, he only played 9 games, but even in those 9 games, he still was able to put up around 7 targets per game. So with that, and like I just mentioned, another Denver Bronco, Marvin Mims, he would profit even more just based off of Evan Ingram's existence, taking up a receiver. But Evan Ingram, I have him as the, and aside from the best ones, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, who else? The Travis Kelce, Taylor's husband, if you will. But aside from that, I would say he's been a consistent top 5 tight end. His name is Evan Ingram. Marcus.
You know, I really love it. Bo Nix. I've always been a Bo Nix lover. I told people to never really give up on that guy, Bo Nix. I knew he was going to come into his own form, and he did.
Yeah.
And now we have guys who coming around him like Cortland Sutton, like Marvin Mims, and like Evan Ingram. So I really, really understand why this guy could really form into a top threat over there. I mean, I was a Giants fan. I saw him.
Oh, yes. Firsthand.
He was leading the position in receptions at one point. I mean, he was our top guy. He was our go-to. So I really see that happening over there in Denver. So that brings me to a very interesting situation where I'm bringing in another veteran, but this guy has been loyal to his city. He puts on for his city, yeah.
I put on for my city.
He's arguably has more of an impact than LeBron James Cleveland. Bring in David Njoku.
Oh my goodness.
Now,
the new LeBron James.
Some may say, Marcus, you know, this guy as a 40-year-old as his quarterback, I don't think you know Joe Flacco. I don't think you know one of the best mediocre quarterbacks to ever touch on that planet. I mean, this David Njoku guy is no stranger to playing with bums. I mean,
that's his entire career.
Yeah,
practically his entire life.
Exactly. And just remember, in 2023, he had 120-plus targets. I mean, the Browns scheme really fits Njoku. I mean, they really love the play-action pass. They're always in motion. They really loved running the ball. That was their kind of scheme. And when they can't, where are they looking? Just right in the middle of the field. Who's there? David Njoku. And let's not mention the red zone targets. I mean, this guy, he was one of the most targeted tight ends near the goal line. I mean, there's no reason why he should be picked lower than tight end 5 right now. And he was the tight end 4 in points per game in 2023. So I think his ceiling as tight end 5 should be fairly valued, and it's not. And with the same tight end friendly coach as the offensive coordinator, I think we could see him emerging as one of the star tight ends and even doing better than some of these players we see like LaPorta, Mark Andrews, maybe even George Kittle. We don't know.
Yes. And he was able to have have his second most touchdowns in a season where he missed 5 games. Actually, 6 games, excuse me. He missed 6 games in 2024, only played in 11, and was still able to put up 5 touchdowns. The year before, he played 16 games, was the Pro Bowler, and had a career-high 6 touchdowns. So imagine what he can do with, even though that Joe Flacco is one of the most mediocre quarterbacks, he stuck around the league for a reason, and he just knows how to throw the ball to open targets, and David Njoku can do that. Exactly.
So, Luke, before we head out here and wrap it up, do we have any fun bus players we want to just throw out there for the people?
I will start with one that it's kind of surprising to me how many people are picking him up, and that is Tank Bigsby down there in Jacksonville. He's rostered in 71% of leagues, which is kind of baffling to me, considering all the hype that, here's a guy who Marcus said that a lot of people have been drafting, but I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Bashul Tuten. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, no idea. I thought when he first got picked in my friend's league, one of my dumbest friends picked him up, and I thought that was like his homeboy he played football with in high school. And then he turns out, I guess it's some surgical pick he made. So
yeah. And then on the other hand, there's Travis Etienne, who has not had the best career so far, but Travis Etienne.
Trevor's the better brother, if you will. Yes. And Travis Etienne did deal with a lot of ball control issues. I've had him in fantasy, and he just constantly gets given up on in that Jaguars offense.
Yeah. But I still think that this guy, Bashul Tootin, could come around. And last year was far and away Travis Etienne's worst year. He only had 2 touchdowns in 15 games. But he's 1 year removed from receiving Offensive Player of the Year votes. In 2023, he had 11 touchdowns. The year before that, he had more than 1,000 yards. So last year, I could see it that being an outlier, and that is not going to be great for anyone who's picking up Tank Bigsby, Marcus.
I just think a stay away from all the Jaguars running backs, but yeah. I wouldn't consider that a hot take. I would consider it lukewarm at best. But
it's me.
Well, now I'm going to throw out some very, very hot takes.
Ooh.
Two names I'm going to say before we head out here, and that is 2 first-round picks or second-round borderlines, Puka Nacua and Nico Collins. Mm. Now, 2 of these guys are very similar yet different. Now, they're both the same because production. I mean, we've seen them both getting over 10 targets a game, finding the end zone a lot, getting deep balls a lot. But we both have to look at 2 very different variables in the offense. Now, I'm going to go into Puka Nacua first. Puka Nacua, you know, it was a very predictable kind of shine-through season for him. When you have Cooper Kupp kind of digressing in that role he had, Nacua and him had very, very similar roles in that offense. Kind of just middle of the field, you know, 20-plus yard catches, or they can turn it into that. And then I think when Cooper Kupp started dealing with some injuries, you know, he started seeing Nacua kind of go into his role a little more. It just didn't work for the Rams to have 2 of them. So now we have Devontae Smith, and we saw Devontae Adams. We saw Devontae Adams blow up.
Oh, yeah.
Blow up Garrett Wilson's plans at stardom over there in the Jets.
Shout out to number 3 to Garrett Wilson this episode.
So why would this not happen to a player like Puka Nacua? I mean, Devontae Adams, there's a lot of unsaid pressure to throw him the ball when he's on the field for an offense. I mean, they know him. Any team knows him. They respect him, especially a 40-year-old veteran like Matthew Stafford entering his final years. I mean, he is going to try to spread out the ball much more equally than people think, and I think people respect Matthew Stafford way too much than they should. I mean, this guy has had back issues ever since he was a child.
Wow.
And now we are seeing him having to lead Puka Nacua into a top 3 season. Hell no. Now Nico Collins is even simpler. You know, we look at the Texans offense, we see that they have Tank Dell coming back, we see that they have who is it earlier we were talking about?
Christian Kirk
over there. And not to mention their run game, which has totally changed the team. I mean, Woody Marks, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb. Even though Joe Mixon's not there, they're going to want to figure out who's the star.
Don't forget about Damian Pierce.
And Damian Pierce. They're going to want to figure out who's the number 2 could turn into number 1. So there is a lot of reason to run the ball. More reason than the last 3 years and the last 5 years even to run the ball. So I think we're going to see a lot less of Nico Collins, and I don't even think that there should be a reason why people should be drafting him in the first round and giving him this much trust. I mean, he is a digressing player. He is a deteriorating player. He's only getting older, and his role is only going to get smaller there down in Houston. I mean, it's easy if he can prove me wrong, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of rewarding if he proves me right. So, Luke, that is going to be some of my bust. Any more for you?
No, I'll just say that the Nico Collins hype train really took off last year after the first 5 weeks of the season, when he had 135 yards in week 2 against the Bears and 151 yards and 12 receptions in week 4. the common thing about those two teams is that both teams that he went up against had awful defenses, both the Jags and the Bears. So once he started facing better teams in the second half of the season, after he came back from injury, he had one 100-yard receiving game, and it was against the Jaguars again. So I don't think that this guy, Nico Collins, I don't see it happening for him. This year's going to be a much tougher schedule. You're obviously going to play the Jaguars twice. Jaguars have improved. There isn't really like that much of a weak spot besides the Titans, if you will. Even then, they're improved with the number one overall pick, Cam Ward. So Nico Collins, it'll be a tough year upcoming. Last year might have just been a bit of a fluke. And yeah, so Marcus, I don't have any more. Do you have anything that you would like to say before we head out and wrap this one up in a blanket?
No, I just want to thank you all for coming out here tonight listening. Me and Luke obviously had a lot of fun talking about it because This podcast episode, although we agreed prior, it obviously trailed on a little longer than we anticipated. Yeah,
40 minutes. It's not the worst, but
no, but
we've had longer. We had about a 3-hour marathon one back in the day.
Yeah.
During COVID times.
One of our first episodes, we didn't know how to stop, so we just kept going for hours and hours. But we just want to thank you for coming out here. It's been really fun to shoot another IRL podcast and kind of go over all the players. So we hope you guys all have a successful season. You know, football season brings back a lot of men's joy in the world.
And women. Shout out to Trish.
Yeah, shout out to the ladies watching there. So we just hope this season you and your boys or you and your friends out there will have a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, crap talking. But at the end of the day, remember, grow emotional connections to these players because they're going to become your life for the next few months.
That's right. Exactly. Make them. Why do you even need a family anymore? These people will be your family. Your fantasy football team will be your family.
Yes.
You better live vicariously through them or else.
Yes. Make the fantasy your reality. Yes. This is the Rain Delay Podcast signing out. Good night.
Good night.